And welcome back to Coaching with the Bible. This week, the end of the book of Leviticus. We complete the third book of the five books of Moses, the books of the Torah, with the reading, the double reading again of Bahar B'chukotai. This week's topic, consequences. The beginning of the second portion of the reading this week, B'chukotai, the last in the book of Leviticus. We got through Leviticus really quick. But the last reading begins and really deals mostly with a very specific topic. And it's a very powerful and forceful rebuke of the people of Israel. The term in Hebrew is called tochacha. That term is explained and interpreted and translated as a concept of rebuke. It's actually a concept which appeared earlier in the book of Leviticus. In the section of Kedoshim, there is a commandment about how we are to rebuke others or not rebuke others. And in other circumstances in the Bible, one we actually discuss at the end of the book of Genesis, there is a moment there of rebuke, or multiple moments in the book of Genesis, where Jacob, in blessing his children, rebukes them for their behavior in an earlier time when they had killed out the city of Nablus, the ancient city of Shechem. And so the concept of rebuke is there. And as it appears in this week's portion, in this week's reading, it is a terrifying, detailed list of the things that are going to happen to the people if they don't oblige and if they don't follow the commandments and if they don't study and if they don't behave in a manner that is becoming of the children of God, of the people, the chosen people, the people of Israel. And at the beginning of that chapter, of that section, there's the opposite. And if they do, if they do follow, if they do walk in the path, if they do, you know, walk with God, and they do keep to the commandments, and they do study, and they do try to improve, then X and Y and Z is going to be there for them as a blessing, as a reward, sort of the way to understand it. But it's complicated. It's such a powerful rebuke in the sense that so much bad is there. And on the other side of that, in the sense that if they do good, so much good is there. And we always view it in the context, I think most of us perhaps view it in the context of reward versus punishment. And so I want to share a different sort of approach to it and then really move from there and leap from there into a greater conversation about consequences. Because I think, and this is brought out and written down in a book, a commentary that we have mentioned a number of times. It's called the Netivot Shalom. It's written by a prior Rebbe, rabbi of the Slonim group of Hasidim. It's a very powerful set of works. I mentioned it many times. And so in his first article in this section of the Bible, he talks about this concept of blessing and curse, because very much we view the idea of what's happening in this section of the reading as a list of curses. It's very much that way. We read it in a certain manner, sort of an undertone to some degree. We don't want to sort of say those things out loud. We certainly don't want to say them in a full voice, right? That's a very prominent custom, is to sort of read it in an undertone. In the synagogue that I attend here, they actually, you know, the custom is not actually to call anyone up to read that section, and they sort of announce that whoever would like to come up should come up. The sense that we don't want to call anyone up to read, to say a blessing on that section of the reading. And someone always does, but whatever. But the idea is that idea that we don't want to be attached to, connected to, curse, which is totally understandable. But the Netivot Shalom, the Rebbe writes there that we have to sort of think about it differently. And that the reality of what the Bible is teaching us and what God is sharing with us is that everything is a consequence of behavior. So it's less reward and punishment, although we sort of view it that way. If it's a positive consequence, it's a reward. If it's a negative consequence, it's a punishment, or it's a blessing or a curse. The reality of it is it's a consequence of behavior. And so what's understandable here, and what he's driving at in the course of the full article, is the idea that it all stems and is a resultant of our behavior. So if we follow the rules, and if we play, quote-unquote, the game correctly, and we do all things right, then not the reward, but we'll view it as a reward, the consequence of that kind of behavior is all good things. Riches and success and health and happiness and all that other stuff. And on the other side of that, the flip side of that is, as a consequence of not following the rules, of misbehaving, of corrupting the system, of not keeping to the commandments, of not following the faith, non-belief, all those misbehaving among people, not treating each other a certain way, that the consequence from there, the resultant of that, is a negative consequence. And then it's brutal and it's terrible and it's horrible. And so that the stem, at the heart, at the root, at the foundation of all of those things is our inputs. And so when we control all of the inputs, and this is a key factor here, when we control all of the inputs, and for the most part with respect to our own behavior, we do control the inputs, then the consequence is a direct resultant and is determined by our inputs, for good and for bad. And so the result is a positive or a negative based on when we control the inputs. When we don't control all the inputs, then it's like anything else that goes on in the world. We really can't make any sort of necessarily or obvious determination as to why that result happened or it didn't happen. It complicates there. And certainly even when we do things always correctly, we do that, we still have questions, and we should have questions, and that's certainly the case. But when we look at things sort of consequentially, as a result of our behavior, it should, or our actions, it should then force us and push us to consider our behaviors at the outset, from the beginning. In the following circumstance, situation, action, there could be a set of circumstances. Good circumstances, bad circumstances, positive circumstances, negative circumstances, consequences, based on what I do. And so the question becomes, well, what will I do? And so I've talked about before, and I talk about this a lot with organizational leaders that I work with, is to think through the consequences. And when I do a visualization exercise on success, and we've talked about this too, have them visualize everything sort of going right and what they're celebrating at the end. And by virtue of visualizing in great detail the celebration at the end, they're able to then work backwards into the behaviors and the actions that lead to that really good consequence, result, success. And the opposite too. I've also described it as sort of like a business case pro-con. The pros and the cons of a certain behavior, a certain action, a certain mode of operation in business leads to a certain set of results. And so if we're able to plan and to think and to act accordingly, we're able to, in many cases, really control the outcomes, right? The consequences, the outcomes that we're looking for in life. And so it becomes that kind of a way to sort of really think about these things. Many years ago, when I was working at a different organization, I had the pleasure of meeting this really wonderful consultant. I won't mention him by name here, but a really wonderful consultant. I was dealing with a strategic problem at the organization. And I went, he brought me through this another exercise, a really different kind of exercise that relates very much to what we're thinking. And it dealt with sort of the next step, which was the idea of thinking about the results of the results and the consequences of the consequences, or what you might look at secondary or call secondary and tertiary levels of thinking on strategy. And the idea was that most of us, for the most part, when we think about how we're going to operate and what we're going to do, we think sort of one level. Well, if I do this, and this is the result. And this exercise was the next step. Well, if I do this and that's the result, what happens then? What do I then have to do on the other side of that result, good or bad, consequence, outcome, good or bad, to continue forward? So if I succeeded in a project, let's say I'm trying to raise a lot of money, which is, again, a lot of the work that I do and a lot of the focus that I do. If I succeed with that endeavor, and I raise the money that I want to raise. So now what? What happens now? What are the next set of inputs I have to operate and think about and worry about and do? And then what are the consequences of that? And so once you get second and third and fourth level on it, first of all, you're so much further ahead than most people ever are with respect to thinking about the consequences of their actions and the consequences of their inputs and the results of their actions. But beyond the fact that you're just deeper in it than everybody else, is that you can really prepare that far out into the future, and you can decide and determine what it is that you are and are not going to do now. And so when we, instead of looking at things as reward and punishment, and we look at them more of as consequences, we then take a step back into something that we talked about way at the beginning of Coaching with the Bible, which is the sense of accountability, in the sense of responsibility, in the sense of my role in everything that is going to happen, and my need or my responsibility at being proactive, active, not being acted upon, but acting forward. And that once these sort of situations come about, once the stimulus might be there, to use a term from Stephen Covey, who we mentioned way back when, between the space of stimulus and response, there is our behavior and our freedom to choose. And so what's really crucial here in sort of understanding what the Bible is laying out for us is that the Bible is laying out for us sort of a strategy for life. The Bible teaches us the concept of that we should choose to live. That is coming up at the end of Deuteronomy, the notion that that God wants us to choose life, and by choosing life, we live and we do and we accomplish and we succeed and we enjoy and all those other things. We should choose life. Appreciating that the notion of what the Bible is describing here in this section of rebuke of curses versus blessings is very much about personal responsibility, very much about personal accountability, and appreciating ultimately the concept of consequence and resultant based on my inputs and my actions. So it's really not different than something we described way at the beginning of the Bible when we talked about Adam and his accountability, nor is it different than something we're going to discuss way at the end of the Bible when we talk about the idea of choosing life, and nor is it sort of completely distinct and separate from the concept that I mentioned earlier at the beginning of today's presentation, the idea of a concept of rebuke. This is a sense of a pre-rebuke, the notion that God is rebuking us in advance of what it could be that we might do when we're faced with a certain circumstance. On some level, the idea of what's happening at the beginning of this section or this section is theoretical, preemptive in nature, very much so. But it does force us, and it should push us, to a space where we are contemplating the consequences of our different actions. And as a result, perhaps working backwards, then therefore thinking through, all the way through, all of our inputs, i.e. all of our actions, all of our reactions to different things, and the way in which we go about the day-to-day business of being good, positive, wonderful human beings. With that, we have completed the book of Leviticus, the book of Vayikra, and I'm super excited to begin the fourth book of the Bible, the book in Hebrew known as Bamidbar, and in English, for many of you, known as Numbers. Have a great week, and for those celebrating, Shabbat Shalom.